This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But we've talked a lot of NBA basketball tonight, as this is a pretty active, fun time of the NBA calendar coming off of the draft. Trade rumors, actual trades getting consummated. And the free agency period set to begin here in the next week or so. Joining me to break it all down, he is the founder of HoopsCritic.com, at HoopsCritic on Twitter. He was on SiriusXM throughout the draft as well, and he is regularly on SiriusXM on their NBA channel. Brian Geltzeiler joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Geltz, how we doing tonight, bud?
Shawnee, baby. How you doing, buddy? I'm good.
I'm doing good, Geltz. I want to get into some of the rumors that have started swirling today in just a second, but the one deal that goes down that I think was intriguing on draft night, obviously, is the Jimmy Butler trade to Minnesota. Where does a best three player of Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, and Jimmy Butler put the Minnesota Timberwolves in the Western Conference right now?
I would say this, Shawnee. I think you're looking at a team that most likely is a bottom half playoff team in the Western Conference, a 5, 6, 7, 8 seed. That's where you graduate to. But I also got to keep in mind here that they're looking to make a run of Millsap. They're looking to make a run of Kyle Lowry. They got a max contract slot. This isn't done yet. They got Nikola Vucevic off their books for this year. So they can certainly do a little bit of maneuvering and bring in a major player. It's not over for them by any stretch. But right now, they look pretty good. You know, one of the big issues they had last year was finishing games. And Jimmy Butler's going to help you do a lot of that. There's no doubt. Jimmy Butler's a guy that brings a veteran presence to a very, very young basketball team.
What's the best available move to them right now, Geltz, to make to move them up as high as they can in the West?
Well, I think if you can bring in a major point guard like a Lowry, I think that would be tremendous. A close runner-up would be bringing in Millsap to play four. So, you know, either of those moves to me would really elevate them a lot. Having Butler and Wiggins on the wings is a big deal. Because, Shawnee, I know Andrew Wiggins has not been good defensively in his first few years in the league. There's a good defensive player somewhere in there. And when you unearth that and the light bulb goes off, you're going to be lethal on the perimeter there. I've seen enough flashes from Karl Anthony Towns that I think there's an elite defender in there. And I think Thibodeau's going to be a guy that can expose that stuff. You give him a fourth, a Lowry, a Millsap. Doesn't have to be the best player. It's the four of a big four type of thing. But certainly you can all of a sudden elevate yourself into the top four of the Western Conference. And I'll tell you this, the Minnesota Timberwolves right now, as currently constituted, are that one major player away from crashing the party in the top four of the conference. I think that's how much this Butler move lifts them. One of the best perimeter defenders in the league. And then you look at what he can do offensively. Butler's better off when he's not your lead dog offensively. How does that beat a lead dog there? Add another major guy, and now with Butler, you're much more in a mix for a Lowry and much more in a mix for a Millsap. So the Timberwolves are going to be players here come July 1st.
Brian Geltzeiler, HoopsCritic.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Geltz, Mark Stein of ESPN has tweeted out there within the last hour or two about a three-way deal that you've probably heard about. Cavs, Pacers, Nuggets, and Paul George would wind up in Cleveland. Kevin Love would wind up in Denver. What's a suitable package that Cleveland and Denver maybe combined, a reasonable package that they could put together for the Pacers to pull the trigger on this deal? And what do you think, just in general, about the construct of this deal?
I think it's a very interesting deal in the respect that the Cavs would be partying with Kevin Love, but from what I understand and what it appears in this deal, it'd be more than just Kevin Love. You'd see a Shumpert go out the door too, because they would look to bring in Paul George, and Kenneth Faried would be a contract that would end up in Cleveland in that iteration of this deal. As far as you're concerned with Denver, you're not going to get Jokic. You're not going to get Jamal Murray. The question is, can you squeeze Gary Harris out of them if you're Indiana? Gary Harris is a pretty good player and a guy that you want. Moutier is a given, and then you can definitely do something on the pick side with them, and they give you a pick. The thing for them that's the danger of taking a pick too far in the future, they're doing this to get good soon, and there's a lot of skilled players in Denver. Denver's, sooner rather than later, are going to be a pretty good team if they can figure out how to stop somebody. And they have the kind of coach that insists on that kind of defense. So I think that's coming soon. Nonetheless, I think if you saw a Moutier, a Harris, and maybe only a top three protected pick next year or the year after, that could be the kind of deal that gets done where Indiana takes that deal that we did okay for Paul George here.
Could Boston, I feel like Boston, if they wanted to, Geltz, could put together a deal that can beat anybody on anything, given all the picks that they have and the young players on good contracts and things like that. Why have we not seen Boston doing much of anything other than the flip-flop with Philadelphia 1-3?
Well, first of all, I think Boston has been in the mix with Indiana just to keep them engaged and keep them tempted so they can stretch the timing of this out. Because for Boston, if they end up signing Gordon Hayward first and executing a George trade, the order of operations is going to be very important for them. If they trade for George before they can sign a Hayward, they're not necessarily going to have the same salary dependent upon what goes back and forth. So for them, they're in this George mix. There's no doubt. Now, there was some comments from their own Whit Grasbeck the other day I didn't love, which says everybody's trying to rip us off. Well, of course, you're sitting on all these assets. Everybody's going to try to rip you off. But at one point or another, you're going to have to allow yourself to be ripped off a little bit to use these assets to better your program. One of the things I love, and I talked about this with you last week, but the Philly-Boston trade, was that there's no way Brian Colangelo realized full value for that Laker pick. But he got the guy that he needed for his team in the worst way. And that's what matters more. Sometimes you got to take cents on the dollar if it's better for your program. We haven't seen Boston do that yet, and it'll be very interesting to see what they do with George. Because I think if they got George, they'd have a very good chance to re-sign him. Go in there and play in a winning program, especially if they bring Hayward in, and all of a sudden you make him a nice nest, Sean. He wants to come stay there. It's comfortable. We're going to compete with the Cavs. We can beat the Cavs. We can go into the finals and play the Warriors. That's a much bigger stage than Paul George has been on recently in Indiana. And with the Lakers, there was going to have to be a learning curve and an amount of time before they get there, assuming they don't sign LeBron next year. So it's the whole thing's crazy and in flux, but I think Boston's going to be ponying up big for Paul George.
Brian Geltzeiler, HoopsCritic.com, joining me on the program. Geltz, the other part of Mark Stein's article that he wrote was about Carmelo Anthony and discussing the hypothetical of a buyout for Carmelo from New York and then him winding up in Cleveland with LeBron and company. Geltz, what would something like that look like? Obviously a buyout, they agree to some sort of terms on what's left of his contract, but if he were to wind up in Cleveland, is that a deal where he's doing a veteran minimum or one of those exceptions and New York is just picking up the offset from that? What would the mechanics of Carmelo Anthony winding up somewhere as a free agent off of a buyout, especially a cap strap team like the Cavaliers, look like?
Well, I don't believe there's any offset. It's the money on top of the money he gets from the Knicks.
Okay.
Let me tell you something about a Carmelo Anthony buyout. Buyout's a broad term, Shawnee. Okay? He's going to take every dime of what he's owed. He's already told them, I'm interested in staying and playing next year. If they want to get rid of him, they're going to write him a check for the full amount to send him home. That's what it's going to be. And then when he goes to Cleveland, he'll sign for the veteran minimum because he's making all his money and want to leave their exception open to add another player. And that's what he's going to do. So I don't think there's any way the Knicks trade him. I think Phil has overplayed his hand in the worst way. He's overplayed it with Melo. He's overplayed it with other teams. And at this stage of the game, Melo doesn't need to do him any favors. Melo's whole domestic situation, and we've talked about this, makes him more likely to want to stay in New York than to go too far. So the Cleveland thing's interesting because it's a short flight away, and I think to have a chance to win and play with James is something he might do. But understand something. Cleveland's not trading for him, and he's not taking a discount and a buyout for the Knicks. If the Knicks want to get rid of him, they will have to pay every dime to get rid of him, and I don't blame Carmelo Anthony one bit with the way he's been treated.
No. The Knicks deserve everything they have coming to them. Geltz, this is the last time you and I are going to talk. I'm off next week, so the last time you and I are going to talk before July 9th is right now, and by then I'm guessing that these free agents and some of this stuff will have taken shape by then. So I want to get you on the record, just rapid fire here on some of these free agents and big names. So let's go through them real quick, and where they will be on July 9th. What roster will they be going to or about to sign with when the league business opens up? Chris Paul,
Clippers.
Blake Griffin,
Clippers.
Paul Millsap,
Denver.
Kyle Lowry,
Minnesota.
Gordon Hayward,
Boston.
Paul George,
Boston.
So you think a deal gets done with the Celtics between now and July 9th?
I think so. I think they get Hayward, they all of a sudden step up pretty big here.
That makes perfect sense.
If they get Hayward, they all of a sudden turn around and say, you know what, you want Brown and Smart, we'll give you Brown and Smart. Maybe you put Crowder in one of these, because Crowder's really attractive player, Sonny. That's a very, very cheap contract, and 3 more years there. So if they want to go get it done, they can. But if they're going to keep Horford, they're going to keep Isaiah Thomas, they're going to keep Avery Bradley, you kind of can put a combination of guys together beyond that and be in pretty good shape there. So, yeah, I think if they get Hayward, they're going to push big for Paul George. And I think Kevin Pritchard's going to stretch this thing out to see if that happens.
Geltz, just very quickly here, LaMarcus Aldridge.
I think he'll still be in San Antonio.
Okay.
The problem the Spurs are having is that they threw his name out there the last week, draft week, and they found out he didn't have as much value as they thought. So I think with them, it's going to be a matter of adding somebody else there. What they were able to do with Gasol was interesting, because they're going to be able to lower his per annum, and because he opts out, now they can use that big chunk of cap space and potentially go over the cap to keep him because they have his bird rights. So the Spurs got screwed there. A name I'd look for, though, maybe to go out, is they're going to have to give an asset for somebody to take the last year of Tony Parker if they can find themselves a point guard in free agency, and I'd keep an eye on George Hill there.
Interesting. Yeah, well, he's been there before, that's for sure. Brian Geltzeiler, at Hoops Critic on Twitter, founder of HoopsCritic.com. Geltz, appreciate it as always, and we will we'll do it again when I'm done taking some time off.
Enjoy your vacation, and I'll be on with you in 2 weeks, and I will be in Las Vegas.
Oh, I can't wait.
On that night.
Yes, we will. I can't wait for the full report.
Get ready, Johnny.
Geltz, have a good one, buddy. I appreciate it.
Good, buddy. Take care.
All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.